We live in a fast-paced and hectic world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control. How do you manage all the competing pressures without losing sense of yourself? How do you stay focused enough to not only plot a path, but follow it? Welcome to Recovery Road, a show that offers inspiration, insight, and intelligence, as well as success stories from many walks of life that can show you how you can control your own destiny. Our knowledgeable and entertaining host and her guests give practical advice that you can use every day in the quest to master your life. Now, here's your host, Leah Mattinson.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's show from wherever it is that you are on this beautiful planet. I'm host Leah Mattinson, and today I'm with my wonderful guest, Dr. David Hardy. Dr. Dave, how are you doing today?
Oh, fantastic. Yes, thanks for having me back. This is going to be another great episode.
Wonderful. So for people who don't know Dr. Dave, take a minute, Dave, just to tell people who you are, where you're from, and what your specialty is.
Absolutely. Yes. So I'm Dr. David Hardy. I'm originally from Alberta, Canada, and I'm back in Alberta now. But my past career was in education, where I taught in Australia, Japan, and here in Red Deer, Canada. And I was teaching behavioral students, loved it, but saw a shelf life to it, and then went into chiropractic school. And when I was down in Atlanta, Georgia, I stumbled across a subspecialty there in functional neurology, and was lucky to be at the same clinic where one of the head doctors in the field, Dr. Carrick, was working with Sidney Crosby and other star NHL players with concussions and all sorts of other really interesting and bizarre neurologic conditions. And he was just having amazing success. And I dove into it full tilt and got my diplomate in functional neurology and a fellowship in brain injuries as I was going through the chiropractic program as well. And then practiced in Asheville, North Carolina, and then in Akron and Cleveland, Ohio. So
wonderful. Yeah. And it's a very specific education and experience that you have that can really be a huge help to people suffering from not just concussion, but other brain trauma. And so would you say that people actually even know sometimes when they have a brain issue from your clinical experience?
No, not at all. Like, and people at first, when they hear, oh, it's neurologic, of course are going to be startled and taken back. And it's like, what do you mean? There's something wrong with my brain. And the thing is, everything's kind of on this scale. And there's small little traumas that happen and big traumas. And then of course, cumulative damage that happens. And we're all fighting this thing called aging as well. And all of this comes together and decreases our function. And all these positive things we do increases our function. So there's negative neuroplasticity and positive neuroplasticity. So it's a matter of skewing it in one direction. And yeah, like in my own case, I really didn't know kind of how ramped up my brain was until I got better. I knew there was always potential for more and that I could feel better. But yeah, I was taking all these courses when I was down in the US, and finally I'm like, I got to see somebody about my own brain here and see what can be enhanced or what damage I've done from playing rugby and from bike accidents and everything else that happens in my life. And I was still getting good grades. And before that, I had a good career and was this somewhat of a peak performer. And then, yeah, I got this specific evaluation on my own nervous system and brain and was given these silly, simple little exercises that I was doing every hour. And on day three, it was like a light switch flipped in my brain. And I felt this wave of calm hit me, and I had never felt that before. And I was just, constantly kind of ramped up, anxious. And that was my normal.
Right. So let's just stop there for a second. I want people to really tune into this app. If this sounds like you, amped up and anxious, which just sounds like a lot of the world's population, it might behoove you to really tune in and really listen to what the words are that are being said here, because it can be very much life robbing when you're in that state. And also for people who are only listening to this as a podcast, please come over to the masteryourlife.ca website so you can watch the video version. So Dave, let's pick up from that. You're amped up and anxious. You didn't even know it. You have this evaluation of your neurology, not just your brain, but your whole nervous system. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. You can't separate the two. It's, okay. And really, you can't separate neurology from other systems as well. So, but yeah, this was kind of a full neurologic assessment. So looking at how the body and the nerves fire into the brain and how the brain processes that information, and then how you react and how the brain does something with it, the output of the brain as well. And that gives you, once again, kind of this, the pieces of the puzzle of how you're neurology is firing, because we all have these parts of the brain that are just firing too much, and we've got to find a way to calm them down to make them more efficient. It's like having your foot on the gas pedal all the time. It just doesn't work well. And then we have these parts of our brain that are sluggish, just firing too slow, and we need to find a way to fire those systems up so that they're more efficient, and then things are more in sync, and it's more of that orchestra and concert playing in the different areas of the brain versus kind of this scattered, one part's playing way too much and the other part is out to lunch type thing. Right. And this happens in everybody's brain. Mm-hmm. And it's a matter of getting it, tuned up in so that you can enjoy life to the max here. Because, other people always kind of coming up to you, hey, man, relax. Oh, I am. It's like,
all defensive, I am.
No, you're not.
Trust me, you're not. So after day three, and you felt this calm come over you, what else changed in your life?
Yeah, things are just more efficient. The other thing that kind of just blew me away was... my vision went crisper and brighter. Like it wasn't a problem of being able to read. Like there was nothing wrong with my visual acuity. The glasses were fine, everything, but things just were more bright, crisp, clear, and alive. Mm-hmm. So basically, if you use the volume analogy, the volume and kind of the way my brain was processing all of that visual information was dulled. And then when things started to fire better, my vision came online even more. And just imagine being able to see colors crisper and brighter. Mm-hmm. That's just one experience of the brain. And really, like, our memories and our sensations are built off of all this sensory stimulation. And that's what really makes life enjoyable. And when things start to get dulled down, hazy, cloudy, foggy, and we don't enjoy life as well, and we don't get that full perspective of things. It's kind of like watching things on a almost black and white TV versus an HD TV. And we want to be in HD. We want to live life experiencing everything around us and enjoying it. And we can't do that if our brain isn't functioning well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. High frequency, right? High frequency. HF maybe instead of HD. Perhaps that's what it is.
Yes. Yeah.
So tell a little bit about what's the difference between them, because some people will go to their chiropractor and go, well, I expect a chiropractic treatment versus what functional neurology is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And basically you look at chiropractic, you look at acupuncture, physical therapy, athletic therapy, massage, aromatherapy, all of these, what they're doing is they're stimulating different receptors in the body that go through nerves up the spinal cord and go someplace into the brain. So you get a huge sensory stimulation with all these modalities. And the key though is to send the sensory stimulation to the parts that need it the most. And kind of by itself, each one of these are kind of isolated modalities or treatments. And then the functional neurology is like, well, we've got this huge toolbox in the alternative, and I hate that word, alternative health field, but we've got this huge toolbox of different ways to stimulate our senses and stimulate our brain. What if we actually go through and read the manual on the brain, the manual being the neurologic examination, figure out these pathways and figure out how to kind of assess them to figure out, once again, overactive, calm it down, underactive, stimulate it, and then make our treatments targeted to those areas. And then we can also use combination of therapies. So kind of stacking these stimulations so that it's a bigger, intense experience for the brain. And the results just shoot through the roof then. Yeah. And it really becomes this 1 + 1 = 3, or I should say 3,000, right, is because you're specific with the treatments and the stimulation. Mm-hmm. Instead of just saying, hey, exercise makes the brain better. It's like these specific exercises hit where your brain's not working and functioning.
Right.
And you're really going to notice it.
Yeah. For some people, they're afraid to go mm-hmm. have any kind of evaluation. They'd rather keep things under the radar. They don't want anyone to know, or even maybe if they don't know, they're not that curious about their own wellness. Right. Maybe it's because they're afraid of actually mm-hmm. opening the can. And then
right. And we've been brainwashed into this system that, yeah, when you get this diagnosis, things are really bad. Mm-hmm. And of course, that increases the fear factor. But if you catch things earlier, you're able to do more and more things. By the time you've got a diagnosis of dementia, things are pretty far gone. Mm-hmm. And you're just hoping to kind of slow down the progression or to build some of it back up. But geez, when we're in our 40s, 50s, and we're realizing that we're losing our car keys more often, that we're searching for words more often, mm-hmm. that we can't feel those memories that we used to have and that used to just hit us and light up our days. Mm-hmm. When all that starts to decrease, then we know it's time to get in and get our brain and nervous system working better so that we enjoy life longer, and if not longer, more intensely and better for that great time we're here.
Yeah. And there really is a connection between the brain and the emotions. So when you're talking mm-hmm. about the thinking and the fixing the brain and brainwashing, isn't that a funny thing? It's like, take it out, give a little scrub. Good to go. Polished it up. But then you have these feelings that actually mm-hmm. are improved, or at least you can feel them. So yeah. Maybe you also become more aware of how you're feeling.
Exactly. And, yeah. And you just said it right there. Emotions. Well, what are emotions? Let's break that down. Mm-hmm. Emotions are feelings. Well, what's the root word of feelings? Feel.
Yeah.
So in order to have emotions and feelings, we need to be able to feel. And all these things coming in, these sensory stimulation, pleasant or negative, all fire into basically the primitive centers of our brain first, which changes our autonomics, heart rate, blood pressure, respiration, all of that stuff. And then it hits our emotional feeling centers. And then we feel. And then eventually it gets to our thinking centers and we think, but we always feel before we think. And then if that's kind of scrambled, then we're going to get this big rush of probably negative feelings. And we see this in concussions with anger and rage. And we get too much of that driving emotion because it's unstable. And then we see it too, when things start to dull and get hazy, is that we don't feel as well. And our emotions and feelings, once again, just aren't there. And it takes away from the enjoyment and enrichment of life. But the cool thing is we're able to make changes to this and really improve how people feel.
Yeah, it's striking me right now as you're talking about the sensory stuff. I hadn't really thought about how much this, I had cut my hand really bad about 7 years ago and lost all the feeling in my index finger on the right hand side. And I play guitar and I have lots of grandkids. And so if you've heard me talk about this in any prior episodes, this is relatively recent. I've been doing some therapy on my hand. And if people want to check that out, you can come to the website. It's there, the iTera Care device. But I want to talk about it because it's so profound. The fix is so profound. I can play my guitar again. And so it's wild. So when you talk about feelings, like I hadn't even really noticed how deadened down it was. Right. So it feels like dead, that when a nerves are shot in something, it just feels dead and thumpy or thuddy.
Right.
So you don't actually feel it. But when it started to heal and I got up playing my guitar again, I went, oh my Lord, it's just like mind blowing, because then I didn't want to put the guitar down. Right. It's like, oh, look at this. Dirty little secret. I'm back to playing guitars. And then singing. Right. So it's all of this stuff. But there is hope for healing these things, that you can see the injuries that are external, so that's an example that I use for people. But the brain healing from concussion, that's, concussion or any kinds of traumas, because they look similar on the brain, right? Like actually what happens looks similar. So if you can figure out the formula to unwinding what's going on in your brain or fixing it, it is profound. It's like it takes away that deadening of your senses.
Yes. Yeah.
The Walking Dead. We're like The Walking Dead.
you look out into a lot of bits and parts of society, and it does kind of have that zombie-like appearance. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, with homelessness, mental health, and addiction, you see people that are kind of walking through life dazed and, drugged up, and not living life. And it's sad, but once again, it's amazing to see people get that vitality and vibrance back. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned one device there to obviously stimulate the healing process in cells, and that mm-hmm. becomes part of the picture as well, because we go through these wiring things, pathways and stuff, but we have to realize it's should be healthy living tissue. Mm-hmm. And there are ways to stimulate cells now to get these cells back up and working as well. And that becomes, once again, very exciting to longevity and to rehabilitating accidents, injuries, or traumas, emotional or physical, mm-hmm. and getting people back and living.
Right. Yeah. And aging gracefully. Aging gracefully, I think, is one as well.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
The station that makes you feel good.
You bring up a good point about homelessness. I do want to just talk about that for a second, because oftentimes people aren't homeless and don't have mental health issues unless they have brain problems. So you could have seen, because you would have seen this working with professional athletes, is they're they have lots of money. They have lots of potential. They have, they have their whole life is like kind of their oyster. The world is their oyster. And then mm-hmm. they get a head injury. And then all of a sudden they're selling all their, rings from the Stanley Cups and whatever else they've won, or their NFL. So we've heard story of that, the CET sort of aspect of things, which do you want to say what that word is? Because chronic
Chronic traumatic encephalopathies.
There it is. See, there's the test. Can you say this one 10 times fast? But then it's more common than I think people know, you know, so they, when you look out at the street where those homeless people are living, you might assume that they've just, you know, they're bums and they've just, you know, not contributing to society at all. But often there's these underlying health issues that you can't see. And it's only by the grace that some people aren't homeless. But there's lots and lots of people that end up living that way because they've had head injuries and trauma to their nervous system.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And even the emotional traumas are going to rewire the brain, especially if they happen during developmental times as well. And everybody wants to go, it's all about choices. Well, choices are skewed depending on how well you're functioning. And here's just a little empathy exercise. Let's examine choices when someone is stressed out. So stress is going to be toxic for the brain and nervous system. We don't function as well. We're sluggish, we're slow, we're irritable. And then what choices do we make when somebody comes up and says something negative to us, or our kids are harping at us, or whatever else, somebody cuts us off in traffic? Of course, we explode more and our choices are not good.
Right.
And now imagine if that hazy, run down, irritable sensation was magnified and that your thought patterns were scrambled and scatterbrained even more than just being stressed out. And then you start to realize what other people are going through with these conditions. And we do notice it. You'll notice somebody beside you, maybe in the gas station or Walmart or whatever, and they come up and they just don't seem right. Mm-hmm. And we have that initial kind of withdrawal reaction. Mm-hmm. And that happens commonly with all of us. There's a lot of people out there that are suffering with a brain and nervous system that aren't functioning well.
Yeah. And let's talk about this a bit more, because I think this is anecdotal experience of my own. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that because of the whole shenanigana fest of wearing masks for 2 years or whatever, mm-hmm. that people are even more sensory deprived. Like there's not those easy conversations that used to happen in the grocery store aisle. There's not right. like people don't smile at each other. I'm like, what is going on with you guys? so it's like, I try to amplify it even more to be very conscious about looking at people. But then I think they go, wow, you're like a freak. Why, what are you doing that you are that way? You're too friendly. Like, I think the opposite. I think that people need to like heal up whatever happened there. And the only way to do that is through the sensation of seeing each other smile. So yes. That's my little anecdotal.
I challenge anyone listening to go out and observe that for themselves.
Right.
And I think pretty much everyone on this call is going to agree with you that, we are in this kind of period of loss, and we've lost different aspects and it's different for everybody, mm-hmm. but that's what happens in periods of change, and disruption and chaos. And, of course, that adds more pressure onto the brain and how we process things, how we think about it, and how we react. Mm-hmm. And it's been chronic. It's been going on for quite some time, and there's probably more events coming up. And we've got to look at how we can keep our brain nervous system firing well so that then our mental health is better, regardless of what's going on, because a lot of these mental health disorders is basically a nervous system that's not able to handle the stuff coming at it from the outside world. Mm-hmm. And if we can get that processing better, then we're able to have better discussions, and that mental health side of things are really going to improve as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And appreciation for one another, I think, too, is a big one that's been taken away or was taken away. And so getting back together to do things with each other, and consciously to do that in milieus that are supportive and fun, not the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're social creatures. We're meant to be social, and
yes,
and yeah, not meant to be fighting with each other constantly.
That's right. Let's go back to your conversation, your point about the development neurologically when you're young. There's a certain span of time that you have where there's all this neurological development happens. Mm-hmm. What is that? What's that span of time? How important is it?
Oh, massively important. And we used to think of things as being just nature versus nurture. Mm-hmm. And of course, nature we used to think was just genetics. Well, now we know it's epigenetics, everything that's happening to it at that moment in time is going to change gene expression. Mm-hmm. So nature is a lot more complex. And don't think of it as just being genetic. And then nurture everything that happens around us. Well, the key thing is to not separate the two, but to look at the interactions of both as the system develops. And we do know that the nervous system comes online for different tasks at different periods of a child's development. Mm-hmm. And then all these outside events are going to change and skew that development. And well, just look at all the diagnoses of neurodevelopmental disorders. The development of it changes the nurture aspect. You have a child now who's maybe a little more sensitive to different things and needs more attention. Mm-hmm. Well, now the nurturing side needs to be different. And you could take a parent who's an absolute all-star at mothering a child that had closer to normal development, mm-hmm. and now is overwhelmed with how much tasks they need to do to nurture someone who has a system that's in some aspects not developing the way it should. And that interaction gets skewed, messed up, and that's continues on as that child develops and turns into an adult. And then, of course, how they perform as an adult, and then how you decline later in life. So it's just massively important that, yeah, these kind of developmental periods as a child starts to develop, even before they're a child, and that developing, sprouting nervous system and all these cells in the body are as healthy as possible. Mm-hmm. And then also looking at the nurture aspect and everything right now, kind of the buzz phrase in psychology is trauma. And they're looking from it as an emotional trauma. Mm-hmm. Of course, that changes how the nervous system develops and how these children react to their environment and to the nurturing aspect, as we just mentioned. But there's the physical side of it. There's the toxins that are piling up. There's all sorts of things that are ramping up inflammation in the developing body that's going to take away from cell health and from the neurons developing and forming these connections. And that skews this picture even more. And it is this multi-factor
factory
approach that's changing that factory. Yes. Yeah. And everybody's looking for one thing that's causing all these neurodevelopmental disorders. And it's not one thing. It's the interactions of multiple different things that we know that are affecting it. And that makes it a little more complex and overwhelming for people. But to keep it simple, yeah, eat real foods, decrease the amount of stress, have the most positive stimulation aspect to that development. That means more physical movement and less bombardment of light and sounds from our tech. And you're going to have a better flourishing child and nervous system.
Mm-hmm. Which hopefully will then mean that your baby is easier to raise.
Yes.
Yeah. Here's fingers crossed for all you young moms and dads, of course. Fathers are so important. We should definitely do a big shout out to the dads, because that matters so much too in terms of the development of the children. So what would you say has really been affected? Like this 1 to 4 or 0 to 4 age range, you know, what are we seeing as milestones that are changing, and why is that not necessarily a positive thing?
A lot of the milestones have kind of been pushed back. Mm-hmm. And that just shows us right there, if they're being pushed back, it's a slowing of development.
Mm-hmm. And so why is that? Like parents, mm-hmm. people who are grandparents, because this is also your role as a grandparent, is to notice and observe when things aren't quite, because people who are raising kids don't have any frame of reference for what is, they're just learning. What's normal, right? So as a parent or a grandparent, you would know what the old normal was. So I use this example in my family, because it's like potty training was really normal at 2. It's like kids mm-hmm. were potty trained at 2. And that was really the standard. So everyone just kind of went, okay, well, we're all going to work together to try and figure that out. And some kids struggled a little bit, but everyone sort of was, you know, out of their diapers by 2 years old. And now it's 3 and beyond. And it's not even mm-hmm. a question of whatever, but there's lots of, I also have a psychology background. I'm a counselor.
Right.
And yes. So, yeah. So I'm educated in this stuff. And what happens developmentally for children is it is a milestone of development where they are congratulated for doing something that's important in their life for independence. And for the parents, it's an equally important milestone of being able to help a child to become autonomous. Like that's part of the first sorts of things where you help children to learn how to be the master and commander of their little body, you know, mm-hmm. so that they recognize the sensations that they're feeling and why they would want to go to the washroom. But a lot of this seems like it's been usurped by diapers.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So the diapers are more and more comfortable. So people just kind of, this is my, again, anecdotal sort of, oh, okay. It's not, you can't feel the sensation of actually having a wet diaper. So then you don't do anything about it. So it goes on and on. And the parents kind of go, well, I thought it was normal for there to be 3-year-olds. And I'm like, no, the normal used to be 2. And the health unit nurses, I was good friends with the health unit nurses again when I was counseling, and we talked about the developmental milestones. And my son-in-law said to me, I was telling him this, you know, sort of 2-year-old, 3-year-old thing. And he goes, wow, why do you think we should be getting smarter, shouldn't we? That seems like maybe we're getting dumber. That was his comment. And I'm like, I'm just putting it out there, sweetheart.
Yeah. And let's go back to what you said there about basically sensations. Mm-hmm. The first thing for a developing newborn is the sensation of touch. Mm-hmm. Reflexes happen. So there's the rooting reflex where you kind of stroke the cheek and then you get the sucking. Mm-hmm. So that little sensory response sends a signal that gets processed by the nervous system, and then there's the muscle contraction. Hmm. Well, there's other reflexes like that. If you ever grabbed onto their tiny little hands and they start to squeeze, that's a reflex. So that little sensory stimulation triggers the muscle contractions through the nervous system and all this processing. And same with the postural stuff. There's a spinal reflex. You stroke the back of a baby and the muscles contract. And well, there's all these other ones too. So there's one where basically you wipe the baby's bottom and mm-hmm. then the sphincter muscle will contract. Mm-hmm. And all of these happen through all of the body. And basically touch and stimulation and sensations trigger the motor responses. So if you want the motor response to actually be able to hold your bladder, then yeah, there needs to be touch sensation through all that tissue involved in those areas that are going to, once again, get these muscles to work. And yeah, it's a delayed response now because there's lacking that's touch and stimulation.
So what's going on there? Why is there less touch? what's taking place of that?
What are you doing?
You guys tell us.
Hold your baby more.
Hold your baby. What are you doing? It's like, and this is a good question. It's for people to go, well, I got 52 devices to be able to put my baby into when they were born. So it's like, I got a bassinet and I got a, you know, bouncy chair this, and I got a something, something that. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of not holding of babies, right? That's very wild. That's very, very wild. It's not wild, because wild is actually where you're hanging on to your babies as much as humanly possible and going, oh, look at this little sweet bundle of joy.
And the baby starts to realize it too, if they're being held, and they start to make everyone wet, then they usually get put down and set aside for a little bit. Well, that starts to train them to hold it in a little longer. Mm-hmm. And you see this in all sorts of primates and everything else that still hold their babies. There's that first response is the skin to skin touch sensation that start to hardwire these pathways where muscles start to actually be used. And then during certain times, you should see these primitive reflexes start to disappear as the nervous system develops around it. But also these sensations, these touches start to develop the first kind of oscillations or frequencies of firing of the brain that other systems build on later, and that synchronization between different areas of the brain. So it becomes important too for the rest of the development in the system. So reflexes are number one, and then you get into kind of the head and eye movements. Then you get into the cross crawl. Then you get into standing and balancing. And then you get into words more. Mm-hmm. And then into thoughts and regulating emotions and regulating body functions and everything else. So it really is this process of building from these very simple things of touch and holding and nurturing.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things. Make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And so, to the point that things are mirrored back to us, if moms or dads are struggling with depression or depression, loneliness, whatever else would help not keep get you, or just watching TV all the time too. You know, if you're holding a child and a baby and you're watching TV, you're not really attending to them. So there's attendance is a different thing where you're actually looking in at the child, at the baby, and you're having this back and forth experience. So for mothers or fathers who are struggling with depression or low mood or exhaustion because they've got a really busy house or they're working all the time, is there any studies that show that there's an improvement in their own mental health when they turn off the devices and they actually attend to the child, to the baby?
I would imagine there probably are studies looking at that now, but from a common sense aspect, the more interaction, the more back and forth, the more your brain's going to be stimulated as well. And the thing is that, if common everyday activities are starting to overstimulate us, then we know that what we're doing kind of career-wise and stress-wise is overloading the system.
Right.
And I think society needs to look at that in general. And we're starting to notice that with like the great resignation and all these other issues kind of being brought up. But we also need to look at it as kind of those healthy family units or parent units that help nurture and raise a healthy society. And it becomes that big picture thinking that's beyond any one of us. It's a collective thinking and response to this area of chaos that hopefully what comes out of it is for the better instead of detrimental to already a overly stressed out and society that's not raising healthy children, healthy brains, healthy nervous systems.
Yeah. Common sense is a sense.
Yep.
Common sense is a sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's built on all our senses.
So if your senses are dulled down or dummied down or even hijacked, because it's, again, if you've got addictive stuff going on, your common sense could have been hijacked. Your brain could have been brainwashed into thinking that these other things that seem fulfilling in the moment of instant gratification are where the action is at. But common sense, when you know, and I always encourage people to get a piece of paper and a pen out so that they can make notes during these episodes, because it's really important to actually write this stuff down a little so you can capture your thoughts around it. So people who are trying to master their life or recover stuff in their life are trying to close that gap between what they really want and what's going on in their life. And it's, if it's just you, that's a one sort of story, one sort of your life adventure. But if you are then adding in employees or coworkers or parents or children, grandchildren, like all that, it expands. And then you need to actually be able to come back to home base and your home base being your own neurology and physiology and going, how am I doing? And being able to do that check-in and see if your common sense is actually engaged or if there's things that, and this is the brain comment right at the beginning of the show, Dr. Dave, where you said, you know, the brain's always kind of going, like firing up, or there's parts of it that are depressed that you need to fire up. So there's things that you need to slow down and calm down. And there's things that you need to fire up and amp up. But without that sort of self-reflective ability or desire, because a lot of people don't even want to, not listeners of this show, because I know everyone who's on here wants to improve and master something that's going on in their life that's causing them some sort of distress, right? And so it's that, how do you do that? How do you actually do it? First of all, you assess whether or not you're using common sense in the areas of your life that matter to you. And if they don't, then what can you do about that? So, you know, So who are you hanging out with is one thing that really matters in your life. So whether that's in business, it's mentors. If it's, you're looking for strong family role models, it's like, who has strong families that you could hang around with more or catch their good vibe and be hanging out with that kind of people so that you meet more of those kinds of people. And then your social circle might evolve through your lifetime also. So just being aware of that is important also. What do you think are the specific, you work with a very diverse bunch of people, but your specific program is for introverted entrepreneurs to help them to be the highest functioning that they can possibly be. And again, it's so important. And males, it's like the whole male role is so important, as important as women. And so the whole, if you have strong men in the world that are really good leaders and taking their life seriously, having fun, but being serious and sane about how they live their life, that forms a culture, that shapes a culture. And
yeah, there's a crisis right now with boys and with men. Right. And I am going to call it a crisis because there's more neurodevelopmental disorders in growing boys. And there's an increased dissociated population. I mean, that kind of dissociated from society in some aspects, our career or anything else. And it's a decline of boys and men. And you don't want that in a society, because when men fall apart, then they usually act out. And that's not healthy for a society. So this whole aspect of that one gender needs to take over from the other, or no, both genders need to thrive together. Mm-hmm. And then too, with the reason why I've started a course and the online stuff was to take this knowledge in clinical neuroscience that I've developed and used and apply it to people that want to improve performance, and that makes better leaders and a better society. And there is always going to be that group that's ahead of the pack, mm-hmm. that's looking and hungry for this information. And of course, they're the ones under a lot of stress too, because they're the go-getters and the leaders, and it's a different type of pressure and stress for them. And I'm taking all this information and applying it to basically things that can be used daily to improve the life and improve the leadership and improve society. And I'm really excited to be launching this 8-week mastermind class on brain health. And anyone who's looking for that information, just reach out and hit me up on LinkedIn. And we'll
there's nothing, there's absolutely nothing sexier than a healthy brain.
Yeah.
It's just
brain
like,
confidence.
It's really true, because you really, if you can have male figures, males who are fully being actualized, they're balanced between the masculine and the feminine, but they're steadfast, they're loyal, they're secure in their selves, they are contributing to society, like there's, and they have a role, you know, there's a slight difference between the masculine and the feminine and how they raise kids, and you know, just their natural responses to things are different. And thank goodness for that. That's great. Cause, but it is, as I said, people go, oh, it's like you are beautiful. I go, I follow a healthy brain diet. That's the only reason why I look like I look, is because I've taken care of my brain, and that it's possible for everybody to have really great neurology. For men, though, at all ages and stages of life, you are so needed for your health, for your longevity, for your input in terms of the family health, the grandchildren. You know, my dad, who had Huntington's disease, lived till he was 83, but still in the last week of his life, he was playing with his great-granddaughter, my granddaughter, and playing trains on the ground, on the floor, talking with her, you know, so.
And right there, that's a success over genetics.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so we can all do that. Yeah. He was very conscious about it though, too. And he had lots of family support. So we all wanted him to be well. And so when you're a healthy, driven male who has a successful business and a successful life, you attract more support in your life. And so for people who are looking for that program, or a program like that, make sure that you reach out to Dave and at the Collegiate Sports Center in Red Deer. You can find out all of his information on the masteryourlife.ca website. And are you doing continuous enrollment, Dave, in that program?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Now it's kind of in the launch sequence. So we'll get a few people up and running and start sharing the successes they have.
Yeah. Really, really cool. And I think that the other awesome thing is that you did this for yourself early on. So you did your own brain health study. It's a scary thing to look at your own brain and go, okay, well here, you know, this is what the tweaks are. And, you know, it's trying to help other people with the same things that you've been able to resolve and to get better business success, to improve your sensations. Maybe even your grades would have improved. But you've certainly been able to maintain moving to a number of different locations to build your business over a span of a long time. You know, so for men who are driven, it's important to have a healthy brain to be able to do that with less glitches and more smooth feelings.
Yes. Yeah. And to be able to bounce back, because during life's chaoses, your brain deteriorates and your functions deteriorate, and that stress is toxic. And then to know the tools to be able to heal and get back to normal and better than normal is a pretty awesome sensation and feeling to have.
It is. It's awesome. Absolutely. So for those, again, who want to reach out to Dr. Dave, do so. Dr. David Hardy. We're out of time, Dr. Dave. Again.
That went quick, as usual. Yes.
It did. It went very quick. So everyone, please love yourselves, love each other, mind your minds. That's all for us. Bye for now.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Master Your Life is a presentation of Leah Mattinson Enterprises, Inc. Join us next time on Master Your Life, helping you to discover the very best of you.